You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast. Zoneradio.co.za. Afternoon delight. That's a Starland vocal band and Afternoon Delight. Well, I don't know how delightful my afternoon is at the moment. Hello, Jeff.
Hello. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it is what it is. And
as long as it's not me.
Yeah, sometimes we just need to bite the bullet and deal with what's sitting in front of us. And there we go.
Nice. Thanks very much. Thanks very much.
All right. Yeah. Life, love, and porcupine pie. And it is a whole mouthful, yeah. I mean, by the time I get through this, it's time to,
I know.
Change the presenter.
I know.
Yeah, probably maybe that's a good idea. Anyway, controversial but important relationship topics that often spark fiery debate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought it'd be quite interesting because, we go through life and we do, we're in relationships and sometimes we pass our spouses in the passage and say hi and go off to work and do all kinds of things and then we don't really have a chance to talk about important things, and I thought there were a couple of important things, in fact, over 15 of them, that I thought could be interesting to talk about if you are in a relationship, or even if you aren't in a relationship. And I thought we could have a discussion on this together, because everybody's got their own opinion about things, and it's quite nice to know, if you are in a relationship, it's quite nice to know what your partner's opinion is on certain factors, and sometimes they are ordinary topics like whatever, the kid's school or whatever it is, but sometimes they're controversial topics. And I put together a whole list of controversial or fiery debate type of relationship topics that you could discuss with your other half. So let's start. Okay, so you'd go to you go out, you're going to have a cup of coffee with your spouse, and then you start talking about stuff. And sometimes we don't talk about things. So let's talk about open relationships. What do you think about open relationships? Could be quite a nice topic to speak to the partner about. Are you open to them? Or are they? Do you think they're sustainable? I personally think they're not, myself. I don't know how you feel, Richard.
But, no, I don't think so either.
I don't think so. And the question is, do they foster trust or weaken the commitment? And my personal opinion is they do weaken the commitment. So it's open relationships are everybody's decision on their own. But for me, and I think if there are, people that have opinions, please send us an email or send through a note on WhatsApp and just to say, well, how you feel about it. I could trigger something that you feel quite strongly about and let's discuss it. Let's have a chat about it because it's quite important. Infidelity is another topic that we could talk about. So here's the question, Richard. Is emotional cheating just as harmful as physical cheating? Okay, I personally believe cheating is cheating. As well. And if somebody feels they've been cheated, it's just as sore emotionally as it is if they've caught somebody physically cheating. So I find that the same almost. And can
that has to do with how it's defined.
Correct.
And where the boundaries are. Because what is emotional cheating for one person is not emotional cheating for another.
Correct. But if you feel it's cheating, it's cheating whether it's physical or emotional. So if I have a partner and I don't like them, for instance, talking to exes on WhatsApp or whatever, or thinking of their exes, and they tell me, I'm thinking of my ex, that's cheating for me as well as, kind of hearing that.
Yeah, that's what
gone
I'm saying.
Wrong.
For one person, that person, you wouldn't worry me.
Right. Okay.
So,
a lot of people wouldn't worry about that stuff. Yeah, but me, But it's important in your life to know what your partner feels about it, because that then sets boundaries
that's
for your relationship.
That's how it's defined. Yeah.
Correct. So this is an important discussion to have. Gender roles. So here's another good question. Should traditional gender roles be followed in a modern relationship? I personally think that each couple decides, who's that they're together, and it's all about teamwork. In my life, it's about teamwork. It's always been like that for me and my kids. You know, we're all part of a team. We work together. Is Dad the leader of the pack? I suppose he is, but in certain areas, Mom's also leader of certain issues in the household. So it is a discussion that you and your partner should possibly have. And how does your partner feel about gender roles and traditional ones, where the man is the head of the house, makes the decision, and that's it? You know, there's no discussion. I don't know. I don't think in a modern society now that those traditional gender roles are exactly what it used to be in the old days. You'd come home and the wife would say, can I, you know, she'd have magazines that would tell her to make him feel comfortable and give him slippers and give him his pipe and make sure there's a warm meal for him and don't argue with him. Those days are kind of over. But, you know, the man generally would be the head of the household, as it were, and depending on your religious beliefs, I suppose, as well. So these are important discussions to have with your spouse. Do you think these roles create a power imbalance? Not if they are understood by both, and not if there's an agreement on certain issues. Okay, so in my relationship, for instance, she's looking after the household and the decor. I don't get involved in that stuff. Okay, I don't. I say I like it or I don't like it, but you know, there's no power imbalance there. You know, I have a role, she has a role. It's important. Looking at money and finances, always an important discussion. Do we have a joint account? Do you have individual accounts together? Have you had that conversation with your partner about how she feels? Maybe she feels a bit insecure because you're the only one who's got the money and she's got to ask and beg for you for money to go and have her hair done or money to have the nails done, or she's not independent, or the wife gets the role of running the finances because the guy's ridiculously bad at it and he understands that and he says, look, you handle the budget. I'll put so much money into your account every month and you handle the food or whatever it is. Okay, so it's another important discussion to have. Should one partner always be the primary breadwinner? I don't believe so. I don't believe that if a partner who's possibly doing exceptionally well can do very well, there should be no animosity there, I don't think. And should couples always split expenses? I don't know. There's a discussion to have within your thinking group or your relationship. Maybe there are women that believe the men should pay everything. I don't know. Everybody's got a different opinion, and that discussion should be had. Another one is division of labor. Is it fair for one partner to handle the majority of the household tasks? Yeah, I don't know. I think if one partner is out working and the other partner is at home, she's got the responsibility of the kids, maybe the household. If both are working, then I think you should share those responsibilities. If both working, coming home the same, both had a rough day, you should take turns in doing the dishes. I believe that. Or split money and buy a dishwasher or something. But I believe in sharing the tasks there. Unless your partner, your wife, doesn't want you to go near her very brand new washing machine because you'll break it. She can do the washing and load it herself. All right, but how do traditional versus modern views on this impact relationships? Well, I think they do because people don't have the discussion and maybe somebody feels a bit crappy about it. And, you know, I'm doing everything and I'm doing all the house. I'm cleaning. You're not doing it. You come home and you sit and you fire gaze. I don't like it, or I don't want you to get involved in the kitchen because you just messed stuff up, you know. Another nice topic is age gap relationships. Do large age gaps hinder relationship dynamics, or are you likely to face judgment? So I know somebody in my family. She's 32, and her partner is 55 or 56, and it works. great. There have been ups and downs. What happens with kids? You know, those kind of questions come up. But pretty much sorted, and, you know, they feel great together. So that's fine. Another question is, another topic is sexual compatibility. Is sexual compatibility more important than emotional connection? Can mismatched libidos be resolved without resentment? Okay, those are discussions that you should be having, and it shouldn't be festering in somebody there. I think later in life, the emotional connection is a little bit better, more important than the physical connection. Mm. But in the beginning, or when you're young or whatever, they're both important, actually. If there is no sexual compatibility, then I think you've got a problem, and it will lead to problems. Another one is social media impact. Does sharing your personal relationships and what you do online strengthen or harm it? I certainly think it can harm it more than it can strengthen it. It depends on what you're posting. You know, the two of you together having a great dinner, there's nothing wrong with that. That's great. It strengthens the partnership, and maybe it makes the other partner feel more secure because you're both in the picture together. You're both on Facebook. Maybe you feel better. But if you are doing something or saying something about your partner on social media that is not nice or whatever, it can harm it for sure. And how does social media affect your trust and privacy? Well, social media is a big problem when it comes to infidelity, as we know. Facebook and Instagram and messaging and all these things can lead to problems and trust issues as well. Another question that could be asked is prenuptial agreements. Are prenuptial agreements a sign of distrust, or is it just a responsible thing to do? Personally, I don't think it's a sign of distrust. I think it's absolutely normal, and there are various forms of prenups that you can sign. And the fairest one would be married out of community your property with accrual, which means that everything you had before you came into the marriage is yours, and when you get married, everything you have from then onwards in assets is split 50-50. And that's probably the fairest way to do it. If somebody has vast wealth and they're marrying somebody with no wealth whatsoever, I would imagine it's kind of fair to protect the vast wealth, although you're building together. So it's not a sign of distrust. I think it's something that is a responsible adult thing to do. That's my opinion. Mm. And I deal with it every day in my business. Should financial security outweigh emotional trust? Yeah, well, I don't know. I think financial security for everybody is important. And I honestly believe that both partners should be financially independent of each other if possible, so one doesn't feel caged by someone else financially. I think that can lead to a problem. Another discussion could be parenting decisions. Should couples with different parenting styles stay together? Now, this is generally happens when there is a blended family. Divorce, and you're going to your second or third marriage, and the partners are not in line with your thinking of how children should be brought up, and it can cause issues. If it's mom and dad of the kids, you know, it can also cause issue. But I think the blended family opens up to more, because you're more protective of your kids in a blended second marriage, I think. So it's a discussion to have, and please have it before you get married.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a conversation that you, how are you going to know?
Yeah.
How are you going to know what your parenting style is? Mm-hmm. Because you're not yet a parent. Okay, you can only use the example of other people around you and try and learn from their good points to weak points. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to know that until you have a child.
I think you'll find that most people go either two ways. They either bring up their kids like they were brought up, or they bring up their kids totally opposite to how they were brought up. I'm not bringing my kids up that way. I was told you eat your food or you don't leave the table. I'm not doing that to my kids. You know what I mean? I think it's an important discussion to have with that partner Before you go into it, especially on the blended second marriage, third marriage, is possibly where there are kids involved, and it can lead to animosity and anger between the two, between the couple, based on that. So have that conversation. I think it does come out quite hectically as well. Okay, and is it okay to prioritize children over the relationship? So, I was in a seminar once, and they said, who's more important, the kids or the relationship? And what do you think, Rich, when it comes to that? Who's more important?
I think that without the sound relationship, the kids have got no chance.
Correct. That's exactly what came out as the answer. Your relationship with your spouse, second marriage or whatever it is more important, because the kids look at that for security. Mm. And if that's a mess, they are a mess. Mm. So, you know, don't worry. Obviously, you prioritize your kids, their safety and that kind of stuff. But build your relationship, and then the kids will come with it because they're resilient in that way. And they see it as security, actually. Long-distance relationships, another nice, important conversation, if you are in one. Are they worth pursuing? Some people would say, no, absolutely not. I've had experience, and it didn't work, and I'm not doing that again. Mm. Or do they lead to stronger or weaker connections? In some people, it can be stronger. And some people can be weaker. So it's both, I think.
Yeah, again, it's another one of those things that you're not going to get into a relationship with and discuss that point. That's going to come up when, for argument's sake, you're in a relationship and all of a sudden you're offered a job in another city.
Yeah.
And for the sake of your career, you need to take that job or your partner needs to take that job. It's at that point where you have to have that conversation, because that's not something that most people are going to have to deal with.
Well, generally, earlier in life, you do. Sometimes you'll meet somebody on a business trip or something to Joburg, whatever, or even London, and then it's even harder. Mm. So if you are in it, it's the discussion you need to make. Mm. If you've had the experience of having one and it hasn't worked, it's also a decision to make there as well. And if it has worked, well, then maybe you feel it's worthwhile pursuing because it's worked before. All right. The other one is forgiving past mistakes. Is that a thing that you can do? How much of a partner's past is forgivable? Important question. And should previous behavior dictate trust in the present? Now, the word should is a little bit dangerous, because I think it does. I think it does. I think if one partner understands or knows about previous behavior in a relationship, I think it can dictate the trust, and it will become an issue. And I think a lot of the past should be forgivable. If you're meeting somebody for the first time and you're having a discussion and the past comes up and this happened and that happened, if it happens in your relationship, you need to decide at what level do you forgive and what level, you know, when is it, when can't you forgive, that kind of stuff. Cultural and religious differences, there's a question there. Can relationships thrive despite conflicting beliefs? I believe it causes hassles. I have a friend that is Hindu and she is Jewish, I think it is. So it's a little bit different. And there are times of argument, put it that way, but then they get through it. So I think there are ways of getting through it. But then you'll find when it comes to religious differences, the in-laws and the outside family normally will get involved in that. And the other question, how do families' opinions impact in these relationships? Families, and that's what I said now, the families, the outside families, the father, the mother, some people are very religious and they feel very strongly about these things.
I will also think that a lot of this comes to life because comes to the fore when you're looking at how you're going to raise the children. So let's say, for argument's sake, you've got people from two different faiths. What is the faith that the child is going to take on? Because that is where the fight will start.
Yeah, if there's a fight.
Yeah. If there's a fight, but the odds are that there's going to be a conversation that's going to go something along the line. I was raised in this faith,
yeah,
And I want to raise my children in that faith and the faith in the partner, saying, well, I don't actually, because you never got together initially because of a commonality in faith. You got together because of different reasons.
Correct.
Faith was never really considered.
Yes.
Now, when you're going to raise a child, now all of a sudden that question comes to the fore, and that's when you're going to have to deal with it. And that's what we're talking about. Talking about conversations that are going to happen in a relationship as and when.
Yeah.
And this is one that can become quite nasty.
Interesting. Or it can work out. So in my own case, my dad's was a Jewish man and very, very religious Jewish at the time in Europe. Met my mom, who is a Lutheran, Protestant Lutheran from Austria. So my dad, German Jew, my mother, Protestant from Austria. They got together and, unfortunately, my dad lost a little bit of his religion because of the concentration camps that he was in and all that kind of stuff. And they decided they just wanted to come to Cape Town and have a peaceful life and get away from the war and all that, have a child and or kids or whatever it is, and let the child decide what he wants to do. And so I got brought up in Christian schools, of course, and that kind of stuff. I didn't go the Jewish route. I went the other. But I understood both. So it kind of worked out for me to a point where there was no argument. And, you know, I understood both sides and there was no argument as well. So it can work, but it can also go, you know, my partner and I having hassles because of certain issues. Power dynamics is another important discussion. Should one partner dominate decision making? In my personal opinion, no. But some partners, you know, it's my way or the highway. I think that's going down the wrong road, but that's my opinion. How does power imbalance affect equality and respect? I think if you allow your partner to have her own decisions and her own thinking and our own decision making, I think it empowers respect there and equality. And I think that builds strong relationships as long as people are allowed to have their own opinion as well, and you can discuss it and maybe agree to disagree. So another question, how can power shifts be addressed in relationships? Just by discussion and by mutual respect, I think, as well. Living together before marriage, you know what, another one of religious things. I think the question there is, does cohabitation help or hinder relationship success? I personally believe living together for a while is the best way to go.
Yeah.
That's my personal opinion, but some people believe that, you know, we'll tutter my chance there and see what happens, you know, as well. Divorce and its stigma. I think back in the day, divorce was a big stigma. I remember when I was in grade 3 or whatever it is, if somebody was divorced in the class, it was, you know, their parents were divorced, it was a huge thing. But nowadays, you know, everybody's family's been divorced somewhere along the thing. I think, should couples stay together for the sake of the children? There's another thing that happens. My personal opinion, I'm sure everybody's got their own opinions. My personal opinion is that if you're fighting and you're having an argument and you are, the kids are seeing terrible violence and stuff, get away from each other, you know. Also, is it good for one of the partners to run through until the kids leave home and then try and build a life for themselves outside the marriage? It's very difficult. And so it's something that counseling needs to go through, I think, and work through it very carefully as well. Love versus career prioritizing. Should you love or your career, or should love or career take precedence? You know, this is an issue that comes up a lot. And I think, let's say, for instance, you've got a woman's at home looking after the household, and the guy's working on a business. And the business takes from 6 in the morning till 6 at night or whatever it is. And he's working, and he feels he's the breadwinner, and everybody's going well because there's enough money in the family. Everybody's got a home and food and whatever it is. But the wife sometimes in this case, or the husband in this case, maybe they feel emotionally left out. They've got the money, but they don't have the emotional connection. So it's a balance, and it's very, very difficult, because the man will probably think, I'm working hard, they've got everything, they've got a beautiful home, they've got everything they want, cars and petrol and everything's happening, everything should be fine. and life goes a bit skeer for them, and they each go in their own direction, and there's animosity, and that can lead to breakups later in your life, and your career has taken your business away. How many divorces happen because the guy's been working himself to death and not being at home or caring about his family, and he feels he's done everything. Why did she leave me? I've done everything. They had everything they wanted financially, but she still left me. So that can happen as well. So have that conversation, guys. Couple therapy. Should therapy be a last resort or a proactive step? You know, sometimes when you go to therapy and you go, it's the last resort. It really doesn't work. We've spoken about this before. People come to see me and say, last thing, I'll go and see somebody, for God's sake. As a last resort, let our dirty laundry out to somebody and let them talk. It doesn't work if it's a last resort. I think proactive, go to somebody that you can build your relationship, or have somebody that can be in the middle of these conversations, these tough conversations, that can guide that conversation for you as a couple, and you can grow together. That's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing as well. What age to get married? I don't know. Whenever you want to. You know, if you're 20 and you want to get married, there are problems that come with that and there are benefits. And if you're 50, 60 and you want to get married, you know, go for it. It's up to you guys as well. Emotional intelligence versus codependence. Independence versus codependency. You know, is being emotionally self-sufficient better for the relationship? I believe that everybody should be independent as well as connected. So if somebody's codependent, it can lead to issues there as well. Loss of confidence and that kind of stuff as well. Household roles and chores. We spoke about it. Should the home stuff be divided? If you're working together, both got a job, yes, divide it. Don't imbalance. It does affect the relationship. Interesting subject here as well, Richard. Sexual history. Should past relationships be discussed openly? My personal feeling, and everybody's going to have an answer for this now while they're listening, I don't believe so. I don't believe so. I personally don't believe that you should discuss your past sexual history with your new partner. I don't think that's – men don't like doing that. I don't see it. But women say, well, I want to know, you know, because it's nothing. It's the past. But men feel a little bit differently. So have that conversation with your partner and see how they feel. It does matter in a relationship, I would imagine. And if it's something that comes up that hurts somebody, it can affect how people feel about it. Forgiveness in toxic relationships. Should every mistake be forgiven? No. No. They'll come to a point where there's a boundary. And if you then forgive every mistake, you are enabling somebody to be carrying on doing those mistakes and making mistakes continually as well. Final few. Dealing with addiction. Should partners stay and help someone struggling with addiction? Absolutely. But get them help, because most partners are not equipped to help somebody with addiction. They need a professional. So it does affect trust, and it does affect responsibility in the relationships as well. But if you're helping and supporting your partner to go and get help somewhere, or, you know, please do that. Stay with them. It's a sign of love and commitment to your partner, and it's a rough road, that road as well. Workplace relationships. Are workplace relationships appropriate? Absolutely not, unless you're single. You're both single and it's okay. But, you know, it tends to mess up that workplace, and one of you will eventually have to leave if it goes south. So just be very careful of workplace relationships and make sure you're both absolutely single and none of the nonsense there, and get away from it. As soon as you see it starting, just shut it down immediately. It's only going to lead to issues. And that's pretty much it. Dating sites, I suppose, and apps can harm relationships, especially if you're in one and you're on a dating site. Don't do it. Okay, get rid of that stuff. Take it off your phone. Don't even go there if you're in a relationship, and build on your relationship together and make it work. And you know what's not good and what's good. But have these conversations, and I think they are controversial, and they can lead to a little bit of conflict, but that's not a bad thing sometimes.
All right. Well, here's a comment on the WhatsApp. I think when two people first meet and are getting to know each other, be honest and don't hide things. Your opinions, outlook on life, etc., or else these things come up later and could cause conflicts. In other words, be real from the beginning.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I do agree with that, but that doesn't take into account the things that develop.
No.
Because you can't foresee everything that's going to happen going down the line. And there are a lot of things on this list that are only going to come up once a relationship is already in play.
Correct.
And we're not going to realize that we've been hit between the eyes with them until they raise their heads. Okay? One of them would be the raising of a child, what religion we raise a child. That's only going to happen if you have a child. And so I don't think that we can preempt ahead of time all these things.
Yeah, you can't, no.
I think that we need to be aware, possibly, that there are things. I mean, there are a couple of things here. We've kind of run out of time, so we haven't been able to go through the full list. But a thing like jealousy.
Yeah.
A thing like jealousy, is it a sign of love or is it a sign of insecurity? Now, you can know that once a relationship starts to take root, and then you can work it out. But something like...
But that's a good one. I mean, jealousy, for me, jealousy is a negative completely. Protectiveness is a good thing. But to be jealous is going to take that relationship down a rocky road.
You see, I agree. Look, jealousy is not an emotion, I understand. Yep. It's not something that I can get my head around. Yeah. But that is very, very different, okay, to how you handle your in-laws.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, because everybody starts out and everything is through rose-tinted glasses and everybody likes everybody else and all that kind of stuff. It's, you know, sometimes at the outset, the father says, I don't like that opening. You should never get involved. And the daughter goes along and marries him anyway, and then the father's not happy. Yes. But most often, it's amicable. And then things, irritation factors get in, you know. A child is born and what was a mother-in-law that was, you know, pretty much leaving you to run your marriage is now all of a sudden become a granny from hell.
Yeah.
Okay, and telling you how to raise your child. Now, that's a different set of circumstances. I don't know that you can sort that out up front.
I don't think so, but I think there's one word that I want to end on, because I know we're running out of a bit of time. But one word I want to end on is the word responsibility. Responsibility is a massive word, and we don't think about it enough. We are responsible for the other person in our life. And somewhere along the line, we've got to be responsible enough to have the conversations, to be a person that somebody can talk to anytime they want to. They can, you know, and this is all fine the sky stuff when stuff goes wrong and emotions come out. But remember the word responsibility. If you are responsible for someone's happiness or their life or their food or their business, whatever, remember you have that. And it's a huge word that if you have that in you, where you are responsible and you feel responsibility and you work on that responsibility, a lot of the stuff can be sorted out, you know. And yes, they're absolutely right. You know, it comes up in before, during, and after relationships.
Correct.
You know,
absolutely.
That's what we talk about all the time, and it's important.
Yep. All right, Jeff, thank you very much. We'll touch base again in 2 weeks' time.
Excellent, yeah. We will.
Can't wait.
I know, I can see.
I already start counting the sleeps.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
I know.
Thank you, Jeff. That is Life, Love, and Fruit Salad. You can catch it on the podcast later on our website.
Thanks, everybody. Cheers.